All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast, where we look at the food culture of the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island. I am Chef Jonathan Fraser, and I'm here with my co-host again, as usual.
I'm Darren Howlett, and today we're sitting down with Alan McWilliam of Tanitus Farms. So this isn't your first time on the show, Alan?
No, actually, I've been here before. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. First time with me, but I haven't been in the co-host seat up until now. And we were just hoping to check in with you and see how things have progressed, changed, gone forward since last time.
How are things on the farm?
Well, things are, yeah, right. Okay, interesting. Yeah, well, we continue to produce pork as our main product.
Right.
And we're marketing between 20 and 30 hogs a week right now.
Wow.
And that's done in pieces.
Right.
In,
right.
You know, pounds of bacon or sausages or primal cuts, mm-hmm. loins and butts, you know, whatever. So we still have a good core bunch of customers. We're blessed on Vancouver Island with having a lot of independent grocers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that has been a real help to local agriculture because these people are trying to differentiate themselves from the larger operations.
Right.
And the way they can do that is through supporting the local people. So,
right.
Local farms. So that's working real well for the local farms in that they're, as these small independent grocers are out beating the bushes looking for farms to supply them with product.
Right. Are you finding that just locally, or did you say that was more island-wide?
Well, it's an island-wide thing.
Right.
Yes. No, it's an island-wide thing. And our main market for our pork is sort of the Victoria area.
Oh, wow.
And so we have several of the independent grocers down there that purchase from us.
Right.
So, and that's a weekly thing. Every week they get a shipment of our products.
Perfect.
Wow.
So, yeah. And... and, you know, they've been and great supporters, too, mm-hmm. Of us and other local agriculture enterprises.
Right.
Well, I've really enjoyed your products.
Yeah, it's easy to get behind your products. You got great stuff.
Easy to get around them, too.
it's hard to find people that don't like bacon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I find.
We know that's true.
We do a lot at the restaurant with the bacon lardons.
Yeah.
So right. We take the whole slabs and we dice them up and then saute them off in pastas and sauces and, well, pretty much everything we have in the restaurant.
I haven't had my dinner yet either. So
no, sorry.
I'd rather you didn't get into the details. Yeah.
I'll get a little there. But so what other kind of products are you doing? Because you're not doing
chicken. We do mm-hmm. that seasonally.
Oh, yeah.
And we have that fresh once every 4 weeks, unfortunately only every 4 weeks, but frozen all the time, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And we're using a new process of... new to us process of storing the chickens in that we're going to be cryovacking most of the parts now.
Oh, wow.
When they're frozen.
Okay.
So that will keep them, they'll stay a lot better, a lot longer.
Right.
Right.
And so we're hoping for much better shelf life on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And of course that starts in, we start that in March when we get our first chicks. And then our first marketing is in May.
Right. Right.
And then every 4 weeks after that, we have a batch of chickens ready.
Okay.
So, you know, a certain amount go to restaurants and
right.
a certain amount are committed, you know, fresh to local individuals.
Right.
Right.
And then we freeze quite a few.
Okay.
What kind of a yield are you getting then per every, like how many are you producing?
Well, we're producing about 220 or so per
oh,
batch.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that's working out pretty good for us. So we've actually shortened the time that we're keeping them now because they were getting quite large.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little hard to market a 9-pound chicken.
Yeah,
so
right.
We're back to the 5 and 6.
Right, yeah. A 9-pound chicken sort of, I think it comes with a connotation of it must be like a little long in the tooth or something, and people might be shying away from that.
Yeah, and it's for meal size. I think it doesn't suit well.
Right.
And also, when you look at cost, it's a fair investment to put one of those on the table. So,
right, yeah. Yeah.
So there's that. And then, of course, we have beef. As well.
Right.
Right.
And most of our beef has been going to one store in Victoria.
Wow.
Island Meat and Seafood in the Cook Street Village.
Is oh, yeah.
Most of our beef.
Yeah.
And that's a grass-fed product, isn't it?
It's, yeah, generally so. Although this year, unfortunately, things didn't work out for us too well, and we ended up feeding some grain to them over the winter.
Okay.
Because the feed we had wasn't quite the quality that we wanted, and they weren't doing as well as they should have on it. So we ended up feeding some grain to them. And
One of the ups and downs of,
I guess. You make changes. And we're actually going to go to, we're going to go to feeding corn silage in the future.
Oh, yeah.
That works out well for us from the feeding point of view, and it also works out well from the farming point of view. It allows us to use that in a rotation with the grass that we grow. And it allows us to work up a field, say, once every 8 or 10 years and plant corn in it. And that gets the sod. We can get rid of the sod. You know, we can smooth the field out. We can pick rocks. We can drain. We can do all kinds of things that have to be done. And it's it's much simpler that way.
Okay.
So anyway, that's that's kind of what we're looking for. We're using a non-GMO corn this time. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good.
So that's going to be the plan for the future anyway. So
I'm sorry. I guess I was underprepared. I didn't realize that you had gone and branched into so many other areas. I just, being that we've deal with your pork products all the time, I just assumed that that was your focus.
Yeah, well, it's certainly the pork is the biggest thing. I mean, we market hogs or market pork rather, not hogs. We market pork every week.
Right.
So it's a big deal for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other, the chicken and the beef are much, much less actually.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
And then we do turkeys also, but that's just for a Thanksgiving market. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. That's great.
And those are tasty turkeys. I've
had. Yeah.
That's true. Actually, I have had tenderloin turkey. I know that. I know, Yeah.
They work out well. They get lots of exercise and they're outside. Lots of grass and lots of fresh air. So.
Yeah.
Pick up some of those extra flavors out there.
That, yeah. The bugs and
the
everything
bugs
else.
And, yeah.
Great.
To me, it just adds something. You know?
Yeah.
Like it makes a distinctness in the animal. So.
Well, there's nothing like a backyard whatever.
Right.
As opposed to, I guess, on the one scale, one end of the scale, there's the backyard pig or the backyard chicken. And on the other scale, there's the factory farmed ones, which is, you know, there's a distinct difference in the texture and the taste and the meats.
Absolutely. And so you're involved in a lot more than just your farm. I mean, your farm is obviously your bread and butter, but I know that you're quite involved in the local food scene or keep tabs on or try to stay involved. So what what do you, where is the food scene right now? Where is the growing culture? Where is the agriculture right now in the Comox Valley? Or from your standpoint?
Yeah, well, what I'm seeing is that is that the niche local agriculture production is on the increase,
right?
And the interest is rising.
Yeah, definitely. I would say I would have to,
And the consumer's point of view,
right?
So, and I'm sure you guys are seeing that too.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's funny. I have a couple of friends that totally unrelated friends that have both expressed just that interest of like, I think maybe I should try my hand at farming. And I'm absolutely encouraging them. I'm like, well, that you need to try it then. Like, we need all the farmers that we can. We need all the people that gravitate towards it to try their hand at it. You know, that's great. And I, you know, if I could, I would help them however I can. But, you know, there's some people that are just sort of on the fence trying to decide whether they're going to take that leap. Actually, one of the people that we work with, David, he's been talking about it since the day I started there. And he would be an excellent farmer. The guy has a green thumb, whatever. Just amazing. And I wish him to, I wish he would make that leap. I think he would be a fantastic farmer. But that's just it. We're starting to see all these people that grew up not even considering it, now starting to consider, hey, maybe this is my calling. Maybe this is where we should be going towards. So
yeah, we need more of those people.
Absolutely.
Things. It's very difficult to start up. I mean, it really is. There's a fair bit of capital required usually. And marketing is the key.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of people are very good at growing their product, whatever it may be, but they're not that great at marketing it. So,
right.
So therefore, they're not going to get the full benefit from it.
Right.
I've always found that's one of the biggest problems is you find these wonderful farmers who like to farm and they like to grow stuff.
Yeah.
But they're terrible at marketing and
and
getting the product out.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much just across the board. I think that you find that marketers can bring, and I don't think it's just related to agriculture. I think you can find marketers can bring a subpar product into the limelight and get everybody excited about it and not deliver. But then you have the people that are making fantastic products that have no business acumen and they don't know how to, you know, to get that out. I think that's sort of all everywhere.
Well, there's a real communication that has to happen between the farmer and the customer.
Right.
And I'm thinking more of the wholesale type customer, the restaurants or the stores or whatever.
Right.
Because like in my case, I get people that I deal with, even though they should know better because I've been trying to train them, that they think I just pull like a box of loins off the shelf or something. Right. I don't happen to have them in a particular week. They don't get it.
Right.
Or I have to keep reminding them, listen, I usually have between 20 and 30 pigs to market the parts from.
Right.
Guess what? This week I've got 15. You're low down on the list. I cannot pull that box of loin off the shelves. You're not going to get your regular order. You know, it's that simple. And it's difficult for them. It's difficult for them to deal with that because they like to have, you know, a certain amount of product in their store every week.
Right.
And I would like to be supplying it every week, but it can't always happen.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
And but restaurants, the same.
Yeah, I was going to say that might play a bit better to a restaurant because generally a better restaurant will have a chef that can just sort of roll with, oh, you don't have that. Well, what do you have? We can maybe work with that product instead, do something different.
Well, that kind of understanding is appreciated.
But, right. Wow.
And the difficult part for me is when someone puts something on the menu is I feel I have to
There's an
come
obligation.
Up with it every week, idea. So, and I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I've done quite well. Well, you've done quite well for me because we do your hams on our breakfast, which is beautiful. Actually, we use it more than just our breakfast on our bennies and stuff like that.
But
then that's worked out quite well, and as well as the bacon too. So but yeah, you're there every
Tuesday. And we try to make sure that you get it because we know it's on the menu. So.
Yeah. Right.
So, but having said that too, though, you are an older customer. One of our first customers, I should be saying.
Therefore, oh, really? I didn't realize that was there.
You're high up on the list, so you're when I'm short of product, you're probably not going to notice it because someone else will get shorted. You won't.
So. Someone down the line.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I have to have some priority way of doing it, or else I'd drive myself crazy.
Right.
Well, I'm glad I don't feel bad when I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get four hams this week instead of five. But I know
that's
it's
fine.
it's going to go to a good home somewhere else.
True.
Right. Wow.
So you brought in some products here today too.
I did, yes. Yeah,
for
just
us
grabbed
a sample.
Them
I didn't even see this.
We're gonna get in this. So I'm talking to. But I just thought you could maybe, as I'm taking them out, just tell us a little bit about. You got the Tannadice. You do a lot of sausages. Of
yes,
course.
We do about 10 different varieties of sausages. And what I brought you was one of our newer ones. It's the pepper sausage.
Oh wow!
And it's I think it's appealing to most people. It's not hot. It's not too spicy, but it does have enough sort of. I guess it's the pepper, obviously, the taste to it that it gives it a bit of zing.
Okay.
So we quite like that. It's becoming a good seller.
Yeah.
So that's working well.
Wonderful. And that's, I don't know how many people are going to put this together, but I've been talking, I think I mentioned it on a couple of the last few shows, that's my hobby. That's my hobby goal. I always take on sort of a food goal for a year of something that I've decided that I'm going to learn that thoroughly. Going to learn it through and through. And this year I took on two. One, I was going to learn local mushrooms, and the other was I was going to master making my own sausages. So I'm just getting into that and in there. And I'm just, the more I read, the more I'm actually holding back. The more I think, I thought before it would be easy just to, just read a book and sally forth, you know, go ahead and do it. And now the more I read, I'm like, oh, I never considered that. Oh, that's an option too. Oh, that didn't even occur to me. And so now I've actually sort of got myself wrapped around it where I'm scared myself off it. So I'm, we'll see. I haven't actually even gotten down to making my first batch of sausage yet, but I'm already a couple hundred dollars invested in machines and books and what have you. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But I'm excited to try it now to see. I'm excited to try your sausages.
So who makes your sausages?
All of our products are prepared by Gunter's.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Gunter Brothers. So they do all of our processing right from the slaughter through to the sausage or pepperoni or whatever it is.
Oh, wow.
Perfect.
So we contract with them to produce our products for us.
Right. Great.
And then they come up with a flavor, or you come up with a flavor?
Well, is one that I came up with, the pepper one.
Was it? Oh, nice.
And the other one was a pear and blue cheese that we have also. That's
oh, wow.
It's interesting taste to it.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people who actually really like that.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. Pretty much you can put blue cheese on anything and I will eat it. It's one of my soft spots for sure. Yeah.
And the other thing you have in here is the pepperoni?
I had some pepperonis I threw in too. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah, those are a big hit.
Yeah.
And
where can people find these?
Well, locally you can find them at Edible Island.
Right.
At Seeds.
Right. And, just around the corner here.
Yeah, and I guess, trying to think of where else, and the Discovery Foods.
Oh, yeah.
and I'm probably left somebody out, but those
oh,
are
they smell
I
fantastic. I'm settling it through the package. Yeah,
and we're also doing a big hit this time of the year too, are the Smokies that we do, the Bavarian Smokies,
oh,
and the
yeah.
cheese Smokies. They're big sellers right now too.
Right, yeah, Smokies.
A lot of attention.
It's barbecue season. Yeah. Smokies on the barbecue. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
So it's working good.
Now I'm thinking I haven't eaten today.
Same here. I'm like, as soon as I smelled that, I was like, wow, I should have had dinner before I came.
Right.
And so what's on the horizon? What's next? Or do you have any future, major future plans?
well, for us, I think as far as the port goes, we're increasing our production.
Right.
We're committed to do that over a period of time here. So we're going to be going up, you know, hopefully to the 30 pigs a week.
Oh, wow.
Sort of level. And we're trying to do a little more shelf-ready product.
Right.
For smaller stores, so they could that could be fresh or frozen. So
right.
that would be
okay.
in a nice cryovac package and well-presented, I'm hoping.
Right.
And we're trying to get into more of that style of with our increase.
Right.
Right.
And just see how that works out. So we're just playing with it a bit right now, and it seems to be going okay.
Well, that's great.
So we'll see how that goes in the future. So.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, I know that your name is golden. I would think that a lot of people are willing to try sort of any of your new products. They just know that Tanadice is...
Thanks for that.
Yeah, well, I would think so. And I'm at the restaurant, whenever I say, oh, you know, it's featuring Tanadice Farms ham or what have you, and people are like, oh, what's that? I immediately have to educate them. Like, oh, well, let me tell you. But it's true. I think that, yeah, your name is golden. And I think that any of your future ventures, I can definitely see people, at least the local community, getting behind it, supporting it. So, yeah.
Good. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in and sitting down with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Always yeah. enjoy it.
If people want more information about Tanadice Farm, is there a website?
Well, we have a website, tanadicefarms.com, which right. is just being redone.
Okay.
Very slowly, but it is being redone. Yeah. It's very old as it sits now, but that'll have more information. And we're going to be on Facebook in the near future also.
Oh, good.
Perfect.
Which is scary for an old guy like me, but anyway, that's...
Yes.
Scares
me too. Yeah.
We're actually just going through somewhat the same thing. We're just going through the process of... website and what have you, bringing all that all up to speed. And same thing, it's just even just the last few years, how much has changed. It's mm-hmm. hard to keep up, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Yes, very much so, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming
yes,
in.
Thank
and
you for having
to
me.
Us.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.